Hi everyone, this is Steve. Welcome to Pacific Life Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to check out our website, pacificlifechurch.org, and subscribe to our email list. The email is actually the best way to keep up with everything going on around here at PLC. Most importantly, I hope the following presentation will inspire you to follow Jesus, love each other, and serve your neighbors.
Well, Happy New Year. I hope that you had a blessed Christmas and holiday season. A phrase that we sometimes hear around this time of year is carpe diem. It's a Latin phrase which means seize the day, or which literally means pluck or harvest the day, essentially enjoy the day. I first heard this phrase when I was back in middle school. The church that I grew up in had this New Year's Eve party every year that was called Carpe Diem. And the idea was to kind of launch into the new year by making sure that you were present and ready in your current heart and headspace. Right? It was a great way to kick off the year. It was fun with family and friends, and it was a focused time where we could just get ourselves right with God and be free of distractions. And I don't know about you, but I get distracted quite easily. In fact, unfortunately, I probably spend more time not being present because I'm distracted by something else. Does this happen to any of you? In the chat, write something that distracts you from being present. Just kidding, don't do that. That's silly. It would distract you from being present right now. Don't do that right now. Don't write anything in the chat. I couldn't resist. I apologize. But according to psychologists Matthew Killingsworth and Daniel Gilbert, the average person spends 46.9% of their time thinking about something other than what they're doing in the present moment. In other words, we're living in the wrong time zone. We're depressed about the past. We're worried about the future. We're distracted. We're frustrated. We're overwhelmed by this, that, and the other thing. We're half present half the time, which means we're only half alive. So if you want to be fully present and fully alive, you've got to get into a mindset that allows you to be fully present in each and every day. Mark Batterson, in his book Win the Day, which is actually what this whole series is kind of loosely based on, this book, explains it this way. Being fully present is not just a good idea. This is a God idea. Being fully present is not just a good idea. This is a God idea. And we see this sprinkled throughout Scripture all over the place. Let me just give you a few examples. The first one is Matthew 6:11. Give us this day our daily bread. Luke 9:23, take up your cross daily. Psalm 118:24, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Lamentations 3:22, his mercies are new every morning. Ephesians 4:26, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Matthew 6:34, don't worry about tomorrow. See, again, this sprinkling of this idea of like seizing the day, being in the moment, being focused and being present is found all throughout Scripture. Here's the bottom line. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Our job is to win the day, is to seize the day, carpe diem, enjoy the day, harvest the day. Now, I have no idea what goals you're going after in this new year. I don't know what problems you're trying to solve. I don't know what habits you're trying to break or build into your life. But here's what I do know. I do know how to achieve success when making changes in our lives. This is the new year after all. And so most of us, what do we set up on the first of January when January strikes? Those pesky New Year's resolutions that most of us don't even follow through with anyways, right? Now, I don't want to spend too much time on New Year's resolutions, but this is what I know. Anytime that we're going to make any kind of a change in our lives, it's going to happen one day at a time. It's going to happen one day at a time. So you have to win the day, and then you have to get up the next day and do it all over again. And if you do that, I think that's called a winning streak, right? If you can do that day in and day out, that's called a winning streak. So I want to plant a little seed of faith with you right here, right up front. Almost anyone can accomplish almost anything if they work at it long enough, hard enough, and smart enough. It was the 90s theologian Stuart Smalley that put it this way. I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me, right? Do you remember that character from SNL back in the day? He would get up every morning and he kind of put on his little outfit and then he'd look in the mirror. I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. But seriously, we sometimes have to talk ourselves into following through with whatever it is that we're trying to accomplish. We've got to push ourselves into that to be more present in each and every day. Remember, you are capable of more than you could possibly ever imagine. Why? How? Because as a Christ follower, God is able to do immeasurably more in and through you than you could ever even ask or imagine. With that said, 75% of all New Year's resolutions fail within the first month. Why do you think that is? Well, I've got a guess. I think sometimes when you think of one-year timelines, it's overwhelming. When you think about doing something for an entire year, that can be overwhelming. And you feel like quitting, you know, before you even get started. But here's the question that we're going to keep coming back to over and over again throughout this series is this. Can you do it for a day? Can you do it for a day? There is power in 24 hours. Big things can happen in 24 hours. Pick a habit, any habit. Better yet, pick a spiritual discipline, any spiritual discipline. Maybe it's one you've had in your life for a while, or you've forgotten for a while, or you want to implement in your life. Think about that for just a moment. Can you do that for a day? Can you do that spiritual discipline for a day? Because here's the good news about spiritual disciplines. The only ceiling on your intimacy with God and impact on the world are your daily spiritual disciplines. The only ceiling on your intimacy with God and impact on the world are your daily spiritual disciplines. See, if you do the right thing, if you dive into Scripture, if you talk to God day in and day out and believe that He is going to show up and quite possibly show off in and through your life, He will be working in and through you in ways that maybe you never even imagined. And I don't know about you, but I am ready for a new year. Can I get an amen? If you are in the chat right now, will you just write amen if you are ready for a new year? I am ready to hit the reset button. I'm ready to start new things, start fresh things. I'm ready to try and achieve any semblance of normality again. Having said that, let me just say this. You can't just flip the calendar. Sarah mentioned this last week in her talk. You can't just flip the calendar. There's nothing magical about the calendar switching from one year to another. Right? You have to think about things differently. You have to flip the script. If you want to change something in your life, you have to flip the script. You have to make a decision or a choice to do things differently. You have to pull yourself back into the present and be present, pushing away all those other distractions. See, flipping the script is simple, but it's also difficult at the same time. Flipping the script, doing things differently, making changes in your life will make you address this statement. If you want to change your life, you have to change your story. If you want to change your life, you have to change your story. But how does one go about changing their story? Again, in Batterson's book, Win the Day, he describes two kinds of changes that we can make in our lives. And the first change is behavioral. It is doing something more or doing something less. For instance, if you're trying to lose weight, maybe in this new year, that's a common New Year's resolution. If you're trying to lose weight, well, eating less and exercising more is certainly a step in the right direction. And this is what Batterson describes as a first order change or the first order of business, a change that can facilitate a quick fix. But the second order change or the second order of business passes the test of time. So second order change is conceptual. It is mind over matter, and that's where the magic happens. Everything is created twice. The first creation is mental. It's internal. The second creation is physical. It's external. Everything was once a thought, and let me remind you, that includes you. You don't just bear God's image. You are His idea. In fact, Scripture says that you are His workmanship, which means that you are a unique expression of God's imagination. Have you ever thought about yourself that way, as a unique expression of God's imagination, God's creativity? See, in Scripture, we see Jesus flipping the script and helping people understand that God wanted a relationship with them in many, many different ways, but we see it all the time. See, when he came to earth, he changed the way that people thought about God. He changed the way that people thought about having a relationship with God and what salvation looked like and what his kingship looks like in our lives. See, Jesus understood that a relationship with God needed to start internally, in the heart. And once people thought about their relationship with God internally, the next step was always a physical or external change. See, the Old Testament law was all about going through the motions. It was very rigid, and you follow the law because it's the law, right? But the New Testament law, that when Jesus came and established the New Testament law, that was all about having a relationship with God. That was all about accessing God. That was all about connecting with God and being intimate with God and being present with God. Look at when Jesus called his disciples in Mark 1:14-19. If you want to go to your Bibles, or it'll be on the screen. Mark 1:14-19. Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached God's good news. That was John the Baptist that was arrested. And Jesus is preaching. And verse 15, "The time promised by God has come at last," he announced. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news." See, John the Baptist had prepped the way for Jesus, and this message that Jesus was bringing, that John had brought, immediately got people thinking differently. The kingdom of God is near? Are you serious? That had been so seemingly elusive for so many, many years. But now the kingdom is God. The kingdom of God is near. The time that God promised was here. This is the Messiah that we've been waiting for. That got people thinking differently. That got people excited. And once people started thinking differently, there was an external action that followed. Look, keep reading with me in Mark chapter 1. This is verse 16. "One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his other brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fish for a living. Jesus called out to them, 'Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people.' And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little further up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat repairing their nets. He called them at once, and they also followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men." You see, for this time period, even though they didn't have cell phones and they didn't have, you know, the nightly news, news still traveled pretty fast. It was a smaller area. It wasn't a big area. So news traveled pretty quickly. And so for Simon and Andrew and James and John, there really wasn't probably any way they hadn't heard the messages that John was bringing, and then also that the Messiah was possibly on the scene in Jesus. And so, again, John had prepped the way for Jesus. And when these men encountered Jesus, they knew his message internally. They knew his message in their hearts. And so their reaction was to physically drop everything that they were doing and follow Jesus. And we say, oh, what faith, what courage. But that was the kind of impact that Jesus had on people. And that is the kind of impact that Jesus can still have on you and me today. In our church's YouVersion Life Group, we just finished up reading a devotional called New Year, New Mercies. We actually finished it up today. Today's the last day of it. We're going to start another one tomorrow. And it's been a great way to kick off the year. By the way, I'm just going to do a little plug. I know we already mentioned it in the announcements, but if you're not in a life group at Pacific Life Church, do yourself a favor and get into a life group. You can go on the Church Center app. You can find it on our website. Go do yourself a favor. Get plugged into a life group. It is a great way to get plugged in with others, to get to know others. And then more importantly, it's a great way to just go deeper with God. So again, back to the devotional, New Year, New Mercies. A few days ago, we read this and I had to write it down. I had to jot it down because I thought it fits so perfectly within this message. So I'm going to just read you a section of that right now. We read this and it says this. This is why the reality check of Romans 3:20 is so important. Paul writes, "For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are." See, Paul is furthering what Jesus is calling people to do, to repent, to follow him. The kingdom of God is near. You see, we often think that if we're good people and we obey all the rules, then we'll be made right with God. But that's kind of putting the cart in front of the horse. If there's no change internally, if nothing is going on inside, then there's no way that an external change will stay its course. In fact, the external change might not ever even get off the ground. Because what Paul is describing here is the reason for following the law isn't because it's the law. No, following God's law starts internally so that they can be manifested externally with others. You see, if you prayed every moment of your life, you could not pray enough prayers to earn acceptance with God. If you gave every penny of every dollar you ever earned and every job you ever had, you could not give enough to deserve acceptance with God. If every word you spoke was uttered with the purest motivations, you would never be able to speak your way into reconciliation with God. If you gave yourself to unbroken moment by moment life of ministry and service, you would never be able to minister and serve enough to achieve God's favor. You see, the problem is sin is too big and God's bar is too high. It's beyond the reach of every human being that has ever taken his or her first breath. This is why God in his love sent his son Jesus, and Paul describes it perfectly in Romans 5:8. God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, there was no other way. There was no other way. There is only one portal to acceptance with God, and that is the righteousness of Christ. You see, his righteousness is given over to our account, where you and I, sinners, are welcomed into the presence of a holy God because of the perfect obedience of someone else. You and I have a chance to have a relationship with God and be in communion with God because of the perfect obedience of someone else, Jesus. See, he perfectly fulfilled God's requirement so that in our sin, weakness, and failure, we would never again have to experience the anger of God. That's what grace does. And so as children of grace, we obey as a service of worship, not in a desperate attempt to do what is impossible. It's impossible to independently earn God's favor. There's nothing that we can do to earn God's favor. It had to be done through Jesus Christ. So we have to flip the script, right? We have to flip the script. We have to start looking at our relationship with God or looking at our relationship with Jesus, not as this set of rules and regulations to live by. No, we let the power of the living God change us from the inside. And then what comes out of us is that example of pure love and pure grace that Jesus showed for us. So we often forget that relationships require trust. They require communication and understanding. To have a good relationship with someone, especially with God, it requires focus. It requires spending time together. It requires being present. So, for example, if you read your Bible on your phone, and you're reading your Bible on your phone, but you're getting all these notifications from all the other apps that are on your phone, that's probably pretty distracting, and it's probably time to break out your actual Bible and then try to connect with God in that way. Just so you can eliminate those distractions when you're trying to have, you know, present time with God. Or if your prayer time is constantly getting thrown off by distractions, maybe it's time to figure out another time or way to pray. I have a buddy who had a drive of about 45 minutes to work to and from every day. And so often he would tell me, he's like, oh yeah, that's when I like to try to take my time and pray. And here's the thing though, my buddy's also a pretty angry driver. And so he gets frustrated at the way that people drive. And so he would tell me that he would get so distracted by other people's driving that he couldn't focus on what he was intending to pray for. He couldn't focus on the things that God was placing in his heart to pray for. So eventually he had to flip the script and do something different with his prayer time. You see, it's oftentimes very simple. It's a very simple change that needs to be made in order to be fully present with God. It's a distraction that just needs to be eliminated to be fully present with God or any other relationship for that matter. Well, I want to give you three practical applications when it comes to flipping the script and being present in the moment. Here are three things that you can do to help fix your focus. And maybe it's just a matter of picking one of these to work on today and then work on it again tomorrow and then the next day and the next day. You don't have to do all three of them. Just take it for 24 hours. Try it for 24 hours. See if it does something in your life. See if it changes your heart and your perspective. So the first one of these practical applications is this. Keep a gratitude journal. Keep a gratitude journal. Here's what keeping a gratitude journal will do. It actually does something inside your brain. It activates a part of your brain that's called the reticular activating system. And that is the part of your brain that determines, get this, what gets noticed and what goes unnoticed. what gets noticed and what goes unnoticed. So by keeping a gratitude journal, it'll enable you to create space to keep the things that you can praise God about in the forefront of your heart and your mind. I've done this in the past, and believe me, it will help fix your focus. It will allow you to be more present to the things that God is doing around you and hopefully through you. And it really is as simple as keeping a note on your phone or carrying around a little book with a pen, right? And every time you see God doing something cool, every time you have something you want to praise God about, you take a moment, you write down the date, and you jot down whatever that was. And then when it happens again, you go back and you do the same thing, and you're reminded, though, of all the neat things and all the cool things and all the good things that God is doing around you. And then you're able to give him praise for it, and those things stay on the forefront of your heart and your mind. The second practical application that I want to give you is a phrase, okay? So change of pace plus change of place equals change of perspective. Now, most of us probably know that spiritual growth, or any kind of growth for that matter, but especially spiritual growth, it requires routine, right? But once a routine becomes a routine, you have to change your routine in order to keep growing spiritually. And this doesn't have to be a major change of routine at all. I heard of a pastor who has committed to read the entire Bible every year. But what he's done to keep it fresh is that he picks a different translation every year to read. So maybe he starts with the NIV this year, and then the next year it's the NLT, and then the next year it's a different one and a different one. And what it does, again, it keeps it fresh. It keeps it fresh. If you walk or exercise regularly, and you know the importance of switching up your route or your routine from time to time, you know, if you're just working out your arms the whole time and you're getting really buff arms, but the rest of your body's a floppy noodle, right? By doing that, you will experience a fresh perspective, and who knows how that might change your outlook, your strength, and your core. I know I like to walk around my neighborhood, but I oftentimes will take a different route because I just want to get a new fresh perspective. I want to change it up a little bit and just see things differently. Research shows that when you do something a little different from your normal routines, it makes the synapses in your brain fire a little differently. And that is really, really good for your brain. That is really, really healthy for your brain. This also brings about a little bit of a change of pace. That's what I mentioned just a moment ago. A change of pace. It's a good thing to have a change of pace in your life. Now, there are different ways that you can put this into practice. But nothing will shift your perspective. Nothing will bring you back into focus and will bring you back into the present like prayer. And I'm not just talking about praying on your commute to work or in the shower. Both are fine, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about some serious, undistracted, very present prayer time. Maybe even go as far as like a silent retreat or something like that. Just you, your Bible, a pen and paper, and the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Free of distractions and see what happens, because most likely that will force you into a change of pace, that'll force you into a change of place, and then you'll be able to see new perspectives that you've never seen before, because God will be speaking to you in a way that is undistracted. You'll be able to be fully present with God. I've done this before too, and it's amazing. It's an amazing opportunity just to connect and hear God. The third practical application is this. Plug in and change your story. Plug in and change your story. There was a study done by Emory University that found the best predictor of a child's emotional well-being wasn't getting into the best school. It wasn't giving them lots of hugs and kisses, which is obviously that's good, but it wasn't that. It wasn't the obligatory pilgrimage to Disneyland or Disney World. It wasn't giving them lots of things to play with. No, the researchers at Emory University found that the number one indicator of a child's emotional well-being was, get this, the child knowing their family history. The child knowing their family history. And I had to think about that for a moment, but then as I got to thinking about it, I remembered that everyone is born into someone else's story. My kids, Oli and B, they were born into Mary's and my story. For better or for worse, they were born into our story. I was born into my parents' story. My parents were born into my grandparents' story. See, we all have a family of origin that includes an origin story. Why do you think origin stories are incorporated into so many movies and books? It's because when origin stories, that what they do is they paint a picture of why whatever is happening right now, currently in our lives, is happening. It paints a picture of whatever's going on, the reason why that is going on. And here's what happens. Here's what happens. When we dive into a relationship with God, we get grafted into God's family. We get grafted into God's story. Therefore, scripture becomes our script. Scripture is not just a mirror. It now becomes our script, and it shows us our backstory. It shows us our history. When we have that kind of a perspective change, we realize that the rest of our life is the rest of the story, right? By plugging in and changing your story, your life is essentially to be continued, dot, dot, dot. There's so much more that God wants to do. And so here's how that works. It starts by surrendering your life to the lordship of Jesus Christ, by giving the author and the perfecter of your faith complete editorial control. But it starts right here. And essentially you're saying, God, you gave me this life, and now you're in charge. And when that perspective changes in our lives, we won't be bothered by the things that used to bother us. We'll actually want to do more. We'll want to be around more people. We'll want to be connected with one another. We're going to want to connect with God more and more, because there is something going on that God is doing inside of us that is now making us just excited to share that good news, that gospel with others. We realize that we have a purpose that is worth living for and worth living out. But until we plug into God's story and have his word transform our story, we won't be able to achieve that connectedness with God. So I wanted to leave you with a couple questions for thought for this time. Just a couple things maybe to think about through your week. The first question is this: what in your life needs to be flipped on its head so you can be present and ready for whatever God has in store for you? Maybe it's turning off your cell phone more. That's a big one. Cell phones can be distracting. Maybe it's doing that more. Maybe it's identifying things in your life that can be a distraction. I know for me, sometimes I'm so distracted I can't identify the distractions in my life. So that's where I need to then turn and ask God, like, God, please identify these things in my life so that I can be fully present with you, and that I can be fully present with my family or anyone that I'm having a conversation or living life with. The second question is this: what are some things in your life that you need to start thinking differently about? What will change your pace? What will change your place and your perspective the best so that you can fully dive into everything God has in store for you? See, as Christ followers, we desire to hear God clearly. And God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The thing is, we're the ones that change. We're the ones that change. So we need to flip the script and remember how good God is. Remember the amazing gift that he sent us in his son, Jesus Christ. Remember that it's so important for us to be present with God, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, throughout our lifetimes. It's so important to be present with God. And whenever we mess up and we turn our backs, it's so important to get back on track as quickly as you can and run back to God. That's the only way that we're going to achieve wholeness and experience God's love and grace in its entirety. So will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for, God, just the examples in Scripture of why it's so important to just be present with you, why it's so important to try and live each 24 hours like it's our last 24 hours, why it's so important to have focus and to connect with you. So God, I would just ask that you would allow us to identify the distractions in our life and then eliminate them. Push them away. God, because we want to be fully present with you. We want to be fully present with others. Because that is living life to the fullest. Thank you for being a gracious and loving God that still puts up with us even when we mess that up, even when we turn our backs on you. We love you, God. Thank you for loving us first. These things we ask and pray in your son Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you'd like prayer to connect with us, please go to our website at pacificlifechurch.org, and we would love to connect with you.